Good afternoon, guys. Everybody have a good Christmas? Good. Pray that you did. I want to introduce an individual that's here. He's been here before. Devon McDonald. Would you stand up, brother? Devon McDonald is a director of Sports World Ministries out of Indianapolis. He's been here. He's spoken before in the various school systems. Sports World is a ministry that they go into school systems. They're athletes that... Many of them are retired professional athletes that have played professional sports. Devon happened to play for the Colts. He also is an alum from Notre Dame. But if you want to connect with Devon and talk to him and greet him afterward, please feel free to do so. My assignment today is the encounter that Jesus had with a paralytic. And I think it's appropriate that we look at God's Word and let's revisit that passage as Dr. Luke records it for us in chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. I like the way Luke starts this. On one of those days. Wow, isn't that powerful? On one of those days. As he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they sought to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when they saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose before them and took up that on which he lay and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Healing. The Bible talks a lot about healing, although it's a controversial subject today and most circles, is it not? The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time, there's a season for everything under heaven. And the Bible says very specifically, there's a time for healing. The psalmist David tells us in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And what's one of the benefits that God brings to us? He's a God who heals all of our diseases. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Healing is a very, very hot potato, especially in the church today and in Christian circles. And regardless of your belief, I'm not here to sway you one way or the other, but I personally, as a pastor, believe in divine healing. I truly believe that God is in the healing business. I hold in my hand a bottle of anointing oil. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about a man that was a hero to me. I want to tell you a story about a man who contracted colon cancer. He was a young man. He was vibrant, had a lot of life, had a wife and a daughter. Came to our church. Throughout those mid-years, a lot of things swept him up into a lot of other avenues. And he got very involved in his work, and he got involved in extracurricular activities, and he kind of strayed a little bit in his relationship with the Lord. Somehow, when he wound up having this tumor in his colon and having it removed and having his colon reattached, and the doctor said they're not sure they got it all, that possibly the cancer had spread, it caught his attention. Isn't that interesting? How times like that, adversity catches our attention because we're flat in our backs And we have no place else but to look up. Carrie went to a local hospital, Howard Community, went through oncology, went through chemo, went through radiation. He was referred to specialists down to IU Med Center and then on to Methodist and various institutions in the state of Indiana. Finally, after a medical file about this big, he was told that his cancer had spread, it was inoperable, and they could do no more for him. He was about ready to leave one weekend for the Cancer Institute in Bethesda, Maryland. And he was going to have an experimental treatment beginning that Monday of that coming week. Before he left, I said to him, Carrie, I said, this has to be of the Lord. I don't want to tell you what to do, but read James chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. And if God speaks to your heart about calling for the elders, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, the deacons of your church to come and pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus Christ and lay hands on you and pray for God's divine healing, we will come if you want us to come. It has to be your invitation. We did that. That Wednesday prior to Carrie leaving for that trip on Friday to Maryland. He got on the plane by himself and headed there, and his wife Doris and his mother Betty were going to join them. They were leaving that Sunday to get there Sunday evening so that they would be prepared when he began this experimental treatment that Monday. Saturday night I was sitting in my living room and reading the paper and watching TV, and I got a phone call, and it was Carrie on the other end. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Paul, he said, you'll never guess what happened. I said, Carrie, what happened? He said, they've done all kinds of tests. They started Friday evening when I got here. They've gone all day Saturday. He said, they've looked at my files. They've looked at the records that IU Med and Methodist and Howard Community sent. He said, Pastor Paul, they can't find any cancer. He said, I'm coming home. He called his wife, Doris, and his mother, Betty, and said, don't get on the plane Sunday to come here. I'm coming home. Healing. I'll tell you the rest of the story about Carrie as I wrap it up. Let's revisit this encounter that Jesus had with this paralytic. Okay? We don't know much about the paralytic. All we know that this man is incapacitated, correct? He can't move. He can't function. We don't know how long he's been this way. We don't know the circumstances surrounding it and how he got this way. Luke doesn't tell us all that, although as a doctor, he tells us that this man is flat on his back because evidently other men have to carry his bed and get him to Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that there's intense opposition that's already beginning to circle. It's like the buzzards are already circling, ready to devour. Do you notice the Pharisees on the scene? Everywhere Jesus was, the Pharisees were, right? Because they wanted to test him, they wanted to trip him up, they wanted to question him. They just wanted to check everything that Jesus was doing. Now, I believe that Jesus knew in his heart that this was going to be a controversial thing. Jesus seemed to feed on controversy, didn't he? He loved it. Boy, he went right in the midst of the battle. He loved it. I love Jesus because he's right in the midst of the heat of the battle and the opposition is already forming and gathering. The Pharisees are there. And I think it's important for us to just go back just momentarily because I think the context of the surrounding verses informs our text. And if we look at the preceding verses in this passage, let me share, beginning in verse 12 of Luke 5, and read just a few verses. While he was in the cities, there came a man full of leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and besought him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go to show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, as a proof to the people. But so much the more the report went abroad concerning him, and great multitudes gathered to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew to the wilderness and he prayed. I want to note several things. First, he told that man that he healed of leprosy. What did he tell him? Don't tell anyone. Now, if you had that kind of miraculous healing, would you keep it to yourself? You'd want to tell everybody and anybody, right? What happened? But just the opposite happened, so much so that in verse 15 there in Luke chapter 5, it says, the multitudes gathered and they wanted to hear what he had to say, but they wanted to be healed by him. Do you think the Pharisees were real pleased that the crowds were gathering to hear Jesus and be healed by Jesus? Question on the floor? I don't think so. I think they were pretty ticked off. The fact that the crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed by him, and they were seeing great things happen because of the power of God, and the power of the Lord, it says in Luke, was upon him to heal. I don't think they were happy. Another observation. He told that leper that he healed to go to the priest to show himself. And Leviticus chapter 13 tells us about the process that lepers had to use. Because remember, if you had leprosy, what happened? You were isolated. You were put in a leper colony. And if you came in contact with anybody else in civilization that was not contaminated with leprosy, what would you have to cry out? Unclean! 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 So they quarantined lepers. He said, go show yourself to the priest as Moses commanded as a proof to the people. Can I say to you that I believe in conventional methods of healing as well? I believe in doctors and gifted people that God has given us. I think that's important too. I don't want to minimize that. I think God gives us those kinds of avenues and has given us those gifted people, men and women, that can help us in our time of need physically. I think that's very important. Jesus told him to go and show himself to the priest. And finally, prayer. Jesus withdrew and he prayed. How important is prayer in the whole process of healing? I think it's just integral, guys. I really do. The faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous individual has great power in its effects, doesn't it? Have you ever prayed for someone and just felt the power of Almighty God? They're so real, so tangible, so you could cut it with a knife. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever been in a spirit of prayer and praying over someone and just laying hands on someone where you felt God's anointing and God's Spirit so real that you just began to cry and weep because of the power of Almighty God? Have you ever felt that? Man, I have. I have. That's awesome. It's awesome. Can I tell you at the outset, we're just vessels, men. We're vessels. It's God who's the one that heals. It's not us. It's not about us. It's not about any human being or any individual. And I think, and we were just praying, there were guys praying with me in the prayer closet, and we were just talking about that, and someone prayed, you know, some of the things we've seen on TV. I must caution you guys, be very careful. Just be careful. I'm not going to name names, and I'm not going to point fingers, and that's not my role today, but just be careful. I think some of the things that have happened that we've seen on TV have minimized and downplayed and given us a sour feeling concerning the whole healing ministry that God has for us, and I think that is still relevant today. I believe it's still relevant today. If Jesus healed 2,000 years ago, I think that same power is still available and we can access that today. Do you notice the great lengths these guys went to bring the paralytic to Jesus? Do you see that? Do you notice that in the text? Here's this guy that's just incapacitated totally. He's on a bed. He's lying there. He's helpless. And guys pick up his bed and they carry it. And the crowds are surrounding this house where Jesus is. And they can't get him to Jesus, but somehow they find a way. They get him up on top of the roof, and the roofs at that time were just slanted enough so that the rain would come off. And they were thatched roofs and made of twigs and mud and mortar, and somehow they got this paralytic up on the roof, and that had to be an arduous task in and of itself, because that man couldn't help him. He was dead weight, literally. They got him up on the roof, and they opened up a hole, and interestingly, as I studied this, I found out that many times they would bring caskets into a house the same way, because sometimes the openings in the homes at that day and time weren't large enough to get a casket in. So they brought him up on the roof, they got him down, and brought him to Man, can you imagine? If you had someone in your family that was sick, would you not go to great lengths to bring them to Jesus for healing? Would you not go to great lengths to bring them to some gifted physician or specialist or doctor or find the right kind of medication to help? Wouldn't you go to great lengths to do that, men? Wouldn't you? I would. If it was my wife or my child, I'd go to any length and I'd spend any amount of money that I could to get them the healing that they needed. These people saw this man had a great need. Jesus looked at this and he said, what did he say? He saw the faith of these men that brought this paralytic. And what did he say to the paralytic? Did he heal him? Did he wave a magic wand? He said to that man, your sins are forgiven. Question on the floor. Why didn't Jesus just heal this man? Why did he say to this man that was paralytic, why did he first say to him, your sins are forgiven? See, you've got to go back to the culture. You've got to go back to that day and time. Because inextricably wound together into the culture, into the fabric of the people's mindset, was this belief that if you were sick or if you were ill with some dread disease, it was because of some sin that you had committed in your life. Now let me erase a misnomer. There's a lot of people, well-meaning Christians, and I think they're Pharisaical, who will come up to you if you have an illness and say, gee, what happened in your life that caused that? Why are you sick? It's not always as the result of sin that someone has some malady or disease or illness. Let's erase that phony, fallacious kind of thinking, okay? Right at the outset. But that was so intertwined in the mindset. Remember John chapter 9? When the disciples came up to Jesus and there was a man that was born blind and he was there on the roadside. What did the disciples ask Jesus? Who sinned? This man? Or was it as a result of his parents or something his parents did? Remember that? So in their mindset, this guy, this paralytic, had this dreaded illness and disease and was laying flat on his back because of some sin he had committed in his life. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, your sins are totally forgiven? Wow. Now you've got to understand the Pharisaical mindset also, because at that day and time, the law stated very specific things. See, there was the written tradition of the Ten Commandments, and there was the oral law. And the Jews prided themselves, and especially the Pharisees, because they were the keepers of the law, right? And they stated that any kind of healing that would take place, especially on the Sabbath, see, you couldn't work on the Sabbath, was a forbidden no-no. You couldn't do it. So the fact that Jesus healed this man called them to question Jesus' motivation. He said, your sins are forgiven. And they say to themselves, and they start questioning within themselves and say, who is he to forgive sin? And isn't it interesting that Jesus perceived their hearts? Isn't it interesting? Without really knowing the dialogue, Jesus knew what was in their hearts. And he sensed where they were coming from, and he sensed their motivation. Because, you see, they were gone back to the law, and as keepers of the law stated, you could put a Band-Aid, if someone was cut, you could put a Band-Aid on that person, but you could not put any medication. You could help that individual, but you could not make that condition any better, because that would be work. They were so nitpicky when it came to healing and matters of healing. It's incredible. When you understand the mindset that Jesus was dealing, man, he was dealing with, and question on the floor, guys, the people you would think that would welcome Jesus as a healer. The religious folks of his day. The religious types. The institutional church were the ones who questioned Jesus the most. Wow. 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 Amazing. Why did he say that? Your sins are forgiven? Who knows what happened in this man's life? We don't know. But Jesus forgave that man his sin. And then he looked at him and he said, "Rise, take up your bed, walk and go home." Wow. And again, they questioned and they said, "Only God can do that." You see, they were caught in a trap and a dilemma because Jesus forgave that man's sin and then he physically healed him, but he spiritually healed him first. Do you notice that, guys? There was a spiritual healing. Let me tell you, when I came to faith in Jesus Christ, there was a healing in my life. I felt like 2,000 pounds was lifted from me. And I had such a healing in my life of all the garbage that was going on in my life. Can you guys identify with that? When you came to faith in Jesus Christ and opened your heart and realized you were a sinner in need of God's salvation. Did you ever experience that kind of healing? That's the most wonderful kind of healing on the face of the earth. I will tell you. And if there's anyone here today who's never experienced the loving touch and grace of the Master and the healing touch of salvation through Jesus Christ, that's the greatest healing anyone can ever experience. I guarantee. Not only did Jesus heal him spiritually, but he healed him physically. To the amazement of the witnesses. Weren't they amazed? And this man got up, he took his bed, and he started leaving, but did you notice what this man did? He began to glorify God. He began to praise God for the healing that had come about in his life. Wow. Amazing. The key is verse 24. Why did Jesus do this? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Why did this healing come about? Why was this story told? Why did Dr. Luke recount this for us? So that we would realize that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Can I tell you, in the power of Jesus Christ, that authority still exists today? I don't have the power to forgive sins, but He does. I don't know where you guys are in your personal life. I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know what's happening in your household. God does. He knows what you need better than I do. And the amazing thing is, we can look and tap into all kinds of resources, but the one resource that we need to tap into is the power of Almighty God. The power of the Lord was upon Him, Jesus Christ, it says, to heal. And He can still heal today. Let me share three brief observations and wrap this up with you guys. Three important observations. The greatest healing that anyone can have is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's the greatest healing anyone can have. I believe that with my whole heart. Secondly, don't underestimate the healing power of Almighty God. For when it is beyond human explanation, God gets the glory. When it's beyond what we can describe and put into our little scientific boxes and place it on the shelf and label it, guess who gets the glory? It's not us, it's God. He gets the glory when something miraculous happens. Finally, realize the important role that you can play as a friend to someone who desperately needs to be brought to Jesus Christ for His healing touch. These friends are nameless, are they not? We don't know who they are. No names are given. Was there someone that was instrumental in your life to bring you to Jesus Christ? Think about it. Maybe you need to go back to that friend and say, "You know, thank you for pointing me to Jesus. Thank you for bringing me to Jesus. Thank you for showing me Jesus Christ and my need. Thank you. Don't underestimate the power you men have in your own families. I mean that sincerely. With your children, with your wives, if you're married, with your grandchildren. Don't underestimate the power and the influence you have within your own family structure. I mean that, to point people to Jesus Christ. Let me wrap it up. Picture of Carrie and his wife Doris. He came back. I met with him that week that he got back from Bethesda, Maryland, and we talked, and he said, Pastor Paul, he said, I want the pulpit that Sunday. I said, Carrie, you got it, brother. You have it, man. Go for it. He stood up that Sunday morning. There was not a dry eye in our church. He stood up, and people knew because we had been praying for him for a long stretch of time that God would bring. Isn't that amazing? We can pray and pray and pray and pray believing. But somehow when we actually see it, we're astonished. We're amazed. That's when you know, guys, that it's something of the Lord and it's not something that some human being kind of orchestrated and worked out. He stood up and the power of God, the anointing of the Lord was upon Carrie that Sunday morning. We saw people come up to the altar weeping and crying and asking the Lord to come into their hearts for salvation. And he said, you know, it was when I began to get my life straightened out that then God began to do another work, a greater work in my life. Guys, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are. Only God knows. And you know. But let me tell you, the greatest healing that anyone can have as we begin this new year of Huddle Together is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for these men. I love these guys. I thank you for the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless these men. Bless the conversation around the tables. Encourage them, Father. And I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ, that today can be the day of salvation. Father, work mightily in each man's life, in each man's heart. Draw them to yourself. Bless our conversation. May it be edifying. We give you all the glory and the praise and the honor that is due you. In Jesus' name, amen.